Hey, what's up, guys? It is December 3rd, 2019. This is the Leafs Convo Podcast, presented by Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. I'm Norman James, along with Mike Coggiello, getting ready for a December to remember for those Maple Brothers. It starts with Philly, continues with Naz and the Avalanche, and carries on after that. Michael, how are you?
Good morning, Norman. I'm well, and after 4-1 with Sheldon Keefe, the Leafs move into December. The schedule is not as onerous as it was in November, but there are three back-to-backs in the month of December, and that will cause a bit of a problem with the current goaltending situation with the team. But Kyle Dubas yesterday at the Ford Performance Center indicated that he is sticking with Michael Hutchinson at this point and basically gave him a vote of confidence, saying that the team has got to play better in front of him, and that that's going to be necessary for them to get some wins and points in those back-to-backs.
December's a month that a lot of people wind down in, but for the Maple Leafs, 13 games.
Yeah, but it's a little more balanced. I mean, I think that there were a couple weeks where they were playing 4 and 6 nights and back-to-backs, and it was a daunting schedule, and they weren't playing very well. Now they're playing a little better. I don't think that they're playing up to their expectations. I think there's still a lot of improvement to be made. They're getting healthier. I think that they're sort of changing in the aspect of how they want to play under Sheldon Keefe, and we'll see this month whether that will result in victories.
So Philadelphia, then Colorado. It'll be the third meeting with the Flyers already this season. And then, of course, it should be an emotional night with Nazem Kadri returning to Scotiabank Arena. You know, the fans are really going to show the appreciation that Naz deserves. A drafted Maple Leaf 2009, I think it was the Tavares draft. Brian Burke calling out Nazem Kadri, I think 7th overall. Naz coming on the scene like gangbusters, then having some personal issues. And, you know, the organization and Naz owe each other a lot. Naz wore his heart on his sleeve and played incredibly well, became a 30-goal scorer, a two-way guy, lots of jam for a Maple Leafs team in transition. And in kind, the Maple Leafs with Brendan Shanahan, Mike Babcock, Mark Hunter, were there for Naz in his darkest moments, bringing this young man back to life, getting his head screwed on straight, getting his career pointed in the right direction. Because you know what, Mike? Had he not had that support, and obviously that connection through the London Knights and the London area in general, Naz might not even be in the NHL right now. So these two owe a lot to each other, a huge debt of gratitude going both ways.
Early on in his career, it was all potential, but a lack of discipline on the part of Kadri. And I was a very harsh critic over the last few years. I haven't been, because he became a much better defensive player along with his ample offensive talents. And he was one of the few players that played, you know, with that sandpaper that we always talk about. Now, that being the case, we know where that led in terms of two suspensions in the playoffs. And that'll always be in the minds of Leaf fans, because it's the what if of if he hadn't gotten suspended, would they have beaten the Bruins in 7 games instead of losing? But all in all, a popular Leaf, somebody who played here for a long time. You know, there have been players recently who played for a couple of years, like Patrick Marleau, who got a video at the Scotiabank Arena. I think that Kadri will get a video and a rousing standing ovation.
Yeah, but I'm going deeper than that, Mike. It's not just about the type of hockey player he was. We know that he had personal demons, and we know that his career was at a crossroads really early in the entire, you know, scope of where he was and where he was projected to go. And look at him now. So he's carved himself out a nice little NHL career, made himself some money, and he's got a ways to go. And I'll wish Naz well wherever his roads take him going forward. Obviously, I don't want the Colorado Avalanche to beat the Leafs at Scotiabank Arena. I want them to continue to do well. The Maple Brothers, of course. Changes, Michael. I know there are some changes to the AHL team with Sheldon Keefe becoming the man behind the Maple Leafs bench. More importantly, it looks like Mr. Mitch Marner should be returning to action very soon. I know there are a small faction of people who don't like Mitch Marner because he's not number 88, but the rest of us appreciate his talents and are looking forward to watching him get back on track and pick up more than a point per game.
Yeah, it was encouraging last week when I was up for Sheldon Keefe's first practice with the Leafs at their practice facility in Etobicoke, that Marner was skating and looked pretty, pretty unaffected. I mean, it looked like it was a serious high ankle sprain. Usually those take, 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe it wasn't a high ankle sprain, or maybe he's a quick healer, but he practiced fully with the team yesterday. And it sounds like, and the only reason he may not go, that he won't go tonight in Philadelphia is because I think today is day 24 of him being on long-term injury, and that's the minimum that he can be on. So he can, he can come off the LTIR on Wednesday, and that will also, with that, will implement a number of reductions on the roster, because now that nobody is on the LTIR, they're going to probably have to cut down to 21, maybe even 20, probably 21 players. And that'll probably mean decision time on guys like Nick Shore and Dmytro Timoshov and some other players. But it's good to get Marner back in the lineup. They've played well in the recently without him, but they definitely need him back. He's playing on the second line with John Tavares, but interestingly, Zach Hyman has been moved down to the third line with Alex Kerfoot and Kasperi Kapanen, and Ilya Mikheyev, who has played pretty well with Tavares, is playing the left side on that line. So that's a bit of a change. That's something you never would have seen under Babcock. Hyman was a staple in the top six. Now he's being put basically in a checking role alongside Kerfoot and Kapanen, and I think that will be a pretty good line, a pretty effective line matched up against other teams' top lines possibly.
What's the harm of trying something different? If even things that typically work, if they've hit a snag in that moment, change it up. Do something different. Last year, William Nylander came back, what, around this time, and was sort of inserted into a pivotal role right away. The guy wasn't ready physically. He wasn't ready mentally. Some would say that the Leafs became a little derailed. People blame it on him unfairly. The Leafs are doing well in a lot of ways. The same, I guess you could say that there's a bit of a comparison last year to this year. The Leafs are doing well right now. New head coach. Will Mitch Marner's insertion into the lineup cause a ruffle for this team that seems to be, on the right track?
Well, I don't think so, simply because, he had been in the lineup from the beginning of the season up until the injury, whereas Nylander was coming in completely cold after, missing training camp and missing 20 some odd games, and his situation was much different, and he really didn't get up to a good start, and he was basically plopped in on the top line with Matthews. Here, Marner is just taking his spot that he had held, up till 3 weeks ago. And I think the transition and him coming back, if he's completely 100% healthy, and I would assume that he is, that there shouldn't be any great change. Now, the one change that I think is going to be effective, or that could be effective, but we'll wait and see, is the change to the power play. Marner's being inserted back on the first power play, but he's replacing, in a way, Morgan Rielly, because Morgan Rielly is being shifted to the second power play, and Tyson Barrie is going to be the quarterback on the first power play. And this is something that, when Barrie was acquired last July, everybody said, okay, Barrie's going to be the point guy in the power play. Rielly is going to play a lesser role in special teams and play more 5-on-5. It only made sense. Babcock, out of loyalty to Rielly, and maybe out of, some just inflexibility on his part, decided to keep Barrie on the second power play and keep Rielly on the first. And Rielly does not have a good shot from the point. He's a very good puck handler and a decent power play quarterback, but Barrie provides a weapon that this team has not had on the power play. And I think that Sheldon Keefe is exploring that and wants to see what happens.
You brought him in to do something. Let him do it, Michael. Again, Mike Babcock, with blind loyalty to players who he believed had his back, and whether they did or not, we can debate. But at some point, you have to change what you're doing. And Mike Babcock was just way too staunch in his beliefs to continue coaching this Maple Leafs team. Do you think Mike Babcock resurfaces?
Well, let's just say this. Before the Marner revelation, I would have thought he could pick and choose where he'd want to go. That if you wanted to sit out the rest of the year like Joel Quenneville did and then take a job next year, that, you know, that would be acceptable. At that, if somebody like Peter Laviolette in Nashville or John Cooper in Tampa Bay, if they didn't like the results of what was going on during the year, that Babcock would be at the top of the list. After the Marner revelation, after the story that came out yesterday via Chris Chelios and the Spitting Chicklets podcast, that was confirmed by Johan Franz and stuff that I had heard over the years about his, you know, verbal abuse of Franz and when he was an injured player with Detroit. I think that it's going to be hard for Babcock to get back quickly, and for him to do so, he's probably going to have to go through some sort of sensitivity training or something of that nature, because, and this is something that Ray Ferraro said yesterday, and I agree with, is the fact that, you know, he's a great coach, he's got a great resume, but his type of coach may not work anymore, and he has to show that he can change and actually mean change, and not sort of cosmetically say, oh, I can be a touchy-feely guy and then be a jerk. From every indication, Babcock has acted like, you know, with a incredible hubris and inflexibility. And if that's the case, then they're going to go with younger coaches who are more in tune to the younger player. It may be tough for him to get another job if he doesn't prove that he has completely changed and is a sort of a new person.
Let's leave it with a question from Ian Spence. Is this millennial revolution / Me Too hockey movement going to change hockey culture at all, Michael? Let's leave it up to the OGs and the converts to answer this in the comment section below this post, or you can do it in the community section. The bullying in hockey has to stop.
Yeah, I think it has already changed hockey. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks how it is, you know, there's an awareness now. And I think now there's even more of a willingness where there hasn't been in the past for players to come out and say, this is wrong. And because they were always fearful of the repercussions, you know, unlike Akeem Alou or some of these other players, Franzen was basically a star player in Detroit. Marner was a rookie, but a star talent in Toronto. Usually this happens with guys who are sort of borderline players that they can push the buttons and they can basically threaten with the position of them not having a job. I think that that's ending now. I think that coaches are going to have to be more tuned to their players and what they can do and what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So we'll see what happens.
Mike, we don't like the bullies and jerks in hockey, yet many act like bullies and jerks on social media. Which is it, man? You can't have it both ways. Anyway, Mike, talk to you later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.